Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What was the most important story, the most significant story of the NFL offseason? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. For me, it was the stunning announcement in mid-August from 29-year-old Colts quarterback Andrew Luck.
I love this team. I love my teammates, the folks in our building, the fans, the game of football. And as part of this team, as a member of this team, and because of how I feel, I know that I am unable to pour my heart and soul into this position.
He was emotional. He said he'd wrestled with it. It was the most difficult decision he'd ever had to make. And for me, that was the biggest story of the NFL offseason. And I still have a hard time thinking about the Colts without Andrew Luck, even though we did see them play without him for a couple of seasons when he was trying to navigate a myriad of injuries. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Earlier on Wednesday, I had a chance to catch up with a 13-year veteran of the NFL, played in the 70s and in the 80s. And he's a guy who almost is a throwback, not just because of when he played, but because he spent his entire career with one team, the New York Jets. So it was great to catch up with former All-Pro receiver Wesley Walker. And I started out by asking him about this time of the year. We've just got hours until the season kicks off, Wesley. What do you remember about the night before the games began?
Well, you're very excited, and everybody's undefeated at the beginning of the season. And as a youngster, you're not realizing what it takes to, you know, win a championship or get into the playoffs and hopefully ultimately get to the Super Bowl. And the fact that I played 13 years, and I think I had maybe three opportunities to get to a championship and ultimately the Super Bowl. And there was a period where we were 10-1 in one period, and I thought we were going to the Super Bowl, and then we end up getting in the playoffs, but we lost five straight. And you just don't know when you're going to get that opportunity. And as a youngster, you don't really realize that. And as you get older, you finally figure it out that, hey, I may not ever get a chance to play in the Super Bowl or get this opportunity because of injury or whatever happens during that time. And you really have to seize the moment. And I think as a youngster or when you first start out, you don't realize that until, you know, you're older and then after your career. And I hope that the guys that are really, and especially the Jets, because I'm a Jet fan, I hope they really realize what's at stake, and you got to play it like it's your last. And I don't think a lot of players realize how hard and difficult it is, and that's why I admire, and a lot of Jet fans get mad at me. The New England Patriots have done that year in and year out, and I admire the fact that from the top to bottom that they've gotten it done, and it's so hard to even get there, and they've done it multiple times, so that's a credit to them, and I only wish I'd had that opportunity.
I very often have players tell me it's really difficult to win one game, let alone 10, or get to the playoffs. So, Wes, we spent some time on the show asking listeners why they love football so much, and many of them said the team concept. And I read a couple of columns in which you'd been quoted talking about winning the team MVP award in your time with the Jets. You spent your entire career in New York. How much did it mean to you to be part of that team and that franchise?
Well, you know, when I look back on my career, you know, and a lot of players that I've watched even after my career was over, they go to different teams with the free agents and thing, and, you know, I look at even teams moving around, there's no loyalty, and I thank God that I was with one team throughout my career. But you mentioned being voted MVP, and that's a tribute not only to myself but to my teammates. And honestly, when Wesley Walker had success, I couldn't do it without my teammates. And I had one of my best games ever against the Miami Dolphins in 86, but if it wasn't for Kenny O'Brien, and I could think of a little block on a blitz pickup by a running back, Johnny Hector, you know, that play wouldn't have worked. So it's the ultimate team game. And when you get voted most valuable player by your teammate, that's just the ultimate. And, you know, and when you have a chance to go to the Pro Bowl and you play amongst the best, that's just the icing on the cake. But the icing on the cake would have been getting to the Super Bowl. And I remember in 1982, we had a chance. We had a plan as if we were going to the Super Bowl. We were in a strike-shortened situation, and we came back, and we were on a roll, and we went to the championship, and we lost the game, and it was over. And when you go to the playoffs and you're in the midst of going to a championship, you have that opportunity, and then you lose, there is no tomorrow, and that's just an awful feeling. And people always ask me, do I miss the game? And, you know, I miss the camaraderie, the team, the players, and I've had a lot of guys that I've been close to, and then you don't see them again. But the fact that we didn't win, we didn't get to the Super Bowl consistently, and the fact that I'd had several injuries, and when you lose, it's not so fun. So I don't miss that, but I do miss the team aspect of it and having success.
He spent 13 years with the New York Jets, a former All-Pro receiver, Wesley Walker, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. In the wake of Andrew Luck's abrupt retirement, you gave an interview in New York in which you indicated that you were really emotional watching him share his reasons for stepping away from the game. Why is that, Wes?
Well, a lot of people don't know me. There are people that are close to me, and I'm very emotional. But when I heard him speak at his press conference, and I've been through a series of injuries, and I know what that like feels like. And I can remember my last year, I couldn't even bend over to touch my toes, and not knowing I had a real serious back injury, and not only my back, but my neck, and you're trying to get through training camp. And I remember taking Vicodin just to get through practice, and you're taking injections. I was getting my knee drained before games, and all this culminating. And when you're trying to get ready and to prepare yourself, and you're playing against some caliber people, you have to be on your game. But not feeling good, not being happy, and being in tip-top shape. And I used to have some of the trainers would say, Wesley Walker at 50% is better than your backup at 100%, which is, you got to be crazy to think that way, to get on the field where you're taking a chance on being hurt seriously. And I'll be honest with you, all my injuries have culminated from playing in the National Football League. And to be honest with you, most of my major surgeries have come after my career. I had a very serious neck injury in 86. I was contemplating retirement, and I played 3 years more than probably what I should have. I had a chance on breaking my neck, and since then I've had a fusion C4 through 7. I have 14 screws put in there, a plate and a cage. In 2014, I had a six-level back fusion, L2, 3, 4, 5, and S1. I've had my right shoulder reconstructed, but in 2014, I had my shoulder done, also a rotator cuff, and my Achilles, and that was all in three surgeries in 2014. And right now I'm struggling, and if people don't see me, you know, they'll see me in a suit and tie, and I'm out, and they'll say that, God, you look like you still can play. But I have all this atrophy. I was looking at my body when I got out of the shower this morning. I have the thinnest little legs, and I was telling my wife that I look like Jerry Holmes, this defensive back I played against who hit me in practice, and he's one of the toughest guys I've ever played against. And he hit me so hard I went paralyzed. But I look at my body as really thin. I got this atrophy. I lost. I'm losing motor function in my right hand. And if you look at my hands, they're like skeletons. And I used to shake a lot. And I have different things in both left and right hand that are it's hard to even explain where my ligaments catch. And I have this pain with tingling and numbness. I haven't felt my feet, they're numb since 1986. And I have this stiff neck, these headaches, the back. I'm going to see my doctor actually tomorrow. I was with the physician assistant where they were going over my x-rays, and And now they're looking where they did the operation from my neck and then and my back. And in between there, I have the thoracic, which is T234, where it could be affecting the way I walk. Because in the mornings, I can't even hardly walk when I drive. I go to the Jet games, and it takes me a while to get going. I've almost fallen over. And the culminating with all these injuries, and you're in pain all the time, and you don't sleep. And so when Andrew was talking, I'm saying to myself, I don't even play anymore, but I know what you're talking about and how, you know, you don't feel good. I was listening to Gronkowski, which is, I guess, everybody's going to these CBDs, and nothing's really helped me. But he said he just wasn't happy, and he wasn't functioning. And you're not playing up to the level that you know you can function at, and you have to be in tip-top shape. And when you have these injuries, and which is, you know, you're going to have this throughout the year, you're not going to function at 100%. And that's just the risk that you take. But the problem I have now, knowing what I know now, I never knew I was going to feel this way. And most players say they will, they would play this game, they would do it all over again. If I knew, you know, the way I feel right now, if I knew what would be taking place right now the way I feel, there's no way I would play this game. And it's not that I don't love the game. I love the game. And I wouldn't have taken shots. I wouldn't have, you know, I wish you could have seen me on the sidelines. The one year I'm blind in one eye, and I hit my eye was swollen. I had stitches in one hand, and I'm on the bench with the ice pack on my leg, and I'm saying, what am I doing? And I'm still trying to play, and I wasn't functioning. That's not fun, and that's why I could relate to what Andrew was saying, and it just made me hurt because I feel people don't know what goes into it. And then the fact that people would boo them, you know, going off the field, and they have no idea what it takes to play on this level on a consistent basis, and this is what how they repay you when you've given your all and you've laid it out on the line. And a lot of fans, they don't know what you go through week in and week out just to get on that field to play. And I remember a doctor say, you take that chance when you step on a practice field, on a playing field, you could break your neck, so it's your choice. And I took a chance, and I even signed a waiver to play. If I had broken my neck, I don't know what I would have done, but I thank God to this day because I played 3 years longer when I took this hit, and I ended up hitting somebody in 89. And my doctor always says, you're lucky if you got out of the game with not being paralyzed, and I thank God for that. But there's a part of my neck was completely closed with spinal stenosis, and right now I was looking at my x-rays, and it's just scary that it may not get better, and that's what I'm concerned about at this time.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The NFL's made a public stance. It's become really the soapbox of the league to prevent head and neck injuries. Do you think the league's effort is making a difference?
I don't think so. I think they have to try to do something, or even if they try to give you the idea that they're trying to correct the situation or try to address the injury issue. But this is a contact sport. I don't care what rule changes that you make. I mean, you could just be tackled and hit your head the wrong way. It's a contact sport, and that's a risk that you take. You can manufacture helmets or padding, but there's so many injuries that occur with non-contact. It's just the nature of the sport. And when you talk about guys that are collisions, especially linemen who hit every play, and now they're dealing with the CTE issues and concussions. Back when we were playing, hey, you go in there, you hold your fingers up, you're okay. And I was never even diagnosed with one, but I remember Harry Carson telling me, Wesley, have you saw stars? Yeah. Have you had a stinger? Oh, yes. You've been concussed. And he will not let his grandson play football. I would give kids a choice, but there are kids out there who have had multiple concussions, and they will still play this game, and they're taking a risk, and that's what I care about. But most players, they will play this game, and they're making a ton of money these days, and they probably would do it over and over again. I'm not one of those players, but I will say, and I'm happy that the NFL has tried to make some changes, and they have to give the facade as if they were trying to do everything to con- do to correct this situation, but this is a contact sport and it can't be avoided. I don't care what helmet, what padding, you get hit the right way, you're going to get hurt. That's just the risk that you take. I think we did things as athletes not knowing some of the risks, because I've heard that. I've heard Marty Lyon said we knew the risk we were taking. I honestly didn't know the risk I was taking. I went out there with my neck, and I had doctors, hey, you are taking a chance. But I had a doctor tell me, hey, we take that chance every time you step on the field. But you really don't know the risk until something really bad happens, and that's what I'm trying to convey to my younger role models, that you have to be aware of this situation, that, you know, certain things can happen, and that's a choice that you have to make. My choice was to play, and I'm in the condition I am in because of my poor choices. If I had the choice to do it over again, I would not. But most players would do it over and over again. I don't know if it's the money, the love of the game. Everybody's different, but I don't have the answer to this one, but I know that I would not, because I do not like feeling this way. I wish you could see me, and you can, my wife attested this, getting up in the morning, the struggles I have just walking or getting up out of bed to start my day. It's drudgery, and nobody sees what you go through to get yourself through the day. But I work with people. I taught for 25 years. They give me encouragement. There are people worse off than me. I deal with people who have cancer and hospice, and I put things in a different light. There are people out there that are struggling worse than I am, and that's the way I can put at least a positive spin on it. But I tell you, Amy, I am hurting every day. And I'm starting to worry about my memory, and that's another thing I get in fights over with my wife about, and I think I'm fine, and she says no.
Well, in this case, I hope your wife is not right, but I do appreciate you being so honest and candid about some of the struggles that you have now in the wake of football. And yet I so admire you, Wes, because you've chosen to figure out ways to give back. And so after you left the game, you were able to get your degree first in psychology, and then you taught for a while. My mom's a teacher, so I love that. And now you spend time working with the elderly. Why is it so important for you to volunteer and work with others?
Positive of you know, and I don't think athletes or celebrities get enough of the positive things they do. And you just mentioned the fact that I one of the proudest things I ever did was I went back to school to and the year I retired in 89, I received my master's degree at Fordham University. And the most athletes don't graduate, and it was difficult for me because I wanted to get my degree out of Berkeley. And I was in majored in economics, and I remember Richard Todd, who went to Alabama, and he could take classes out here to finish up and still get his degree. Well, I petitioned my economics department, which they gave me approval, but the school itself wouldn't. So I ended up transferring my credits, went to a program at Mercy Dobbs Ferry, got my degree in psychology, and then I got involved in an education program through a friend of mine at Fordham University, and I received my master's. And then I wanted to work with the student athletes, because my parents were my role models, and they taught me the value of education. And I wouldn't have earned a scholarship because of my grades. I had a chance to go to any major college in the country, and a D1 school at that. But it was because I was a good athlete, but more importantly, I was a great student. So that's what I wanted to convey over to the kids that I work with, and I got into teaching. And it was just a wonderful thing for me to do, and it's one of the best things I've ever done. I end up teaching for 25 years, and I've tried to be a role model, and I really couldn't physically do it anymore. And I really started out in special ed when I first started in the classroom, and then I wanted to do phys ed because I wanted to coach and educate the student athletes, and I was able to do that. But I finished up my last 16 years at an elementary school, and I probably had more fun than anything else. And when I retired, you know, you have a chance to give back to the community and do certain things. And my wife started a little companionship aid business with the elderly. And I volunteer my time, and I work with, you know, adults 88 to 100. You know, I had a guy that was 102, and I enjoy just being around them. But why I do this is that they're struggling with walking, with dementia, with Parkinson's. Some of my teammates are struggling with depression. I have one of my teammates had a stroke. I deal with stroke visits. I'd even deal with people with hospice. And one of the guys that I dealt with, I stayed overnight with him, and he was so worried that I wasn't going to show up. He would call me when I had lunch, am I coming back? And they get attached to you, even if you just provide just some companionship for them. But I relate to them because they're struggling with their health, with walking, and it comes with the aging process, and it's not fun. And I just had one of my clients' mother just pass away this morning, and it's very difficult for me, but also I can relate to the struggles that they're dealing with every day, because I struggle with walking, and they have their walkers, and I just tease them, like, I wish I had that walker, and I'm a walker, I'm going to help you. And you just have a special place for people. But whether it's a young elementary school kid, an infant, or somebody that's 80, 90, 100 years old, I'm just going to care for them like they're my own family member. And I'm blessed. I have three wonderful children. I have three, you know, actually, my wife now has three kids too. So I have six kids, four grandchildren. So I include them as my family. I love family, and I know that I'm going through a lot. But I want to give back, because I know what it feels like to not have a situation or things that could be down. I have friends that are going through cancer that are younger than me, and so my plight of what I'm going through is very minuscule. I just had a friend of mine, I just found out, I helped his son, and I know him since he was nine. He was going blind, he lost his eye, and I was blind and from birth, and I was able to encourage him. He's one of my best friends. He's married now. He came out to visit, but his dad now has cancer, who was a teacher who contacted me to talk to his son to try to encourage him, and he's been a friend for me. The family flew me out to California to be at his graduation. They threw this brunch. They gave me a car, a hotel. Those things, I never knew you could have an impact on people. And so as a role model, as a, you know, a celebrity athlete, I try to give back, and hopefully people in turn will do that or be positive and look at what I'm doing or what others are doing in a positive way, and they can give back to others, and that's all I try to do. And I love people. So I hope that one day, the world would change and be able to love one another and help each other, and we'd have a better place.
Well, sir, I think very often we go through difficult times in our own lives so we can relate and identify with others and help them when they have to go through the same thing. So I really admire you for giving back. He's a former All-Pro wide receiver, spent his entire career with the New York Jets. It's so good to have a couple of minutes with you. Wesley Walker, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. And like I said, and I tell everybody, you can call me 24/7. And I appreciate you getting the word out there and just keep everybody abreast of the plight of what people are going through.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.